Delighted to have those of you who may be visiting with us from in town, from out of town, from around town. Since you know where we are, do come again. And the worship service, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Why do we do this or why do we do that? Don't hesitate to ask questions when you come to the house of God based upon the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please. You do have your Bibles, correct? Hebrews, the book, is Hebrews. The chapter is 9. Good to see Brother Ronnie Royster, who promised that he would be here today, and sure enough, by the grace of God, he's here. And I think his wife is also here. At least that's the last time I heard she would be coming with him. Oh, yes, there she is. She's here. She once lived here. Then she got married, and this fellow wanted to go to Texas, so she's in Texas. Hebrews chapter 9. Our Bible says in verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this." Did you get that? After this, after living on planet Earth, the judgment. We're going to be called on the carpet at the final roundup of human affairs to give an accounting of the blessing that God has bestowed upon us, life on planet Earth. The day is coming when He will judge the world in righteousness. Come with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. That's in the New Testament. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. It is once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. Once we read Colossians chapter 1, then we'll give you a title for today's lesson. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren, in Christ, which is at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God for the Father and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is set, which is laid up for you in heaven, in that good news, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, hope of heaven for those who obey the gospel and live by the same, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, and it doth not, and it doth also in as it doth also in you, since the day that you heard of the gospel and knew the grace of God in truth. And you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, preacher, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, we heard about you all rejoicing in the Lord, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering. Notice the next two words, with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us suitable or made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. It is God who made us, whoever blessed us to obey the gospel and made us suitable to be with him, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, thank God for that, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible. Are you there? Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him. And notice the next phrase, and for him. All things created by him and for him. Who created man and woman? God. So we have been created by God. You get the message. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile or bring together all things unto himself by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, talking about the saints in Colossae, that were sometimes alienated, and you who were sometimes enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought you back into a relationship because you have obeyed the gospel. In the body of his flesh, through his death, we have that privilege to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and subtle. Did you get that in verse 23? Saved? Yes. Providing you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings, and I rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. I suffered because I'm a gospel preacher, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made known or manifest to his saints. Read Ephesians chapter 3 at your leisure. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among not just the Jews, but the Gentiles also, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, whom I preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, complete, mature in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Thank you for your time and your attention. And the title of our lesson this morning, Are You Ready? For tomorrow. Are you ready for tomorrow? Our Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Wouldn't be dying if dying was all. But after death, the judgment. There is coming a day in our tomorrow of tomorrows, when all humanity, everyone, no one will be absent, must give an accounting of how we lived our lives on planet Earth. We must stand before God and be judged based upon how we lived our lives now on planet Earth. And it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful to know ahead of time so that we can make the proper preparations to be prepared for our tomorrow in the presence of God at judgment. Jesus is coming back. There's a coming day when Jesus will return. There is a coming time. Revelation, I believe it is, chapter 20. When all of humanity, and that's a lot of folks, and it's perhaps beyond even our imagination, because we don't know how long this earth has been in existence. How many years, how many people have lived and will live, because we don't know when God's going to call time. Time will be no more but eternity. We don't know. We don't have those answers. But there is coming a day in which he's going to judge all of humanity according to his divine word. The only question for us is, am I prepared to meet my God? If he does not come today, he is coming in a tomorrow. We don't know which tomorrow, but we know that he is coming one day in our tomorrow. We may not be alive on planet Earth. What is today? What is today? Today is yesterday's. You got it? Today is yesterday's tomorrow. We know not the day nor the hour when he will come. The only real question for us as human beings on planet Earth is, will we be ready? Will I be ready when it does come? The only way for you, for me, or for anyone to be sure of being ready is to obey his gospel. Study his book. There are countless numbers of people teaching and preaching his Bible. Most recently, there is a country that where the leading where the leading preachers decided that we're going to put it in our laws that same-sex marriage is honorable and legal. It might be there, honorable and legal, but pardon my colloquialism, it ain't in heaven. These are not the people on planet Earth. We are not the ones that will do the judging at the final round of human affairs. It is God himself who will do the judging. Therefore, we need to know what thus saith the word of God, not what some preachers say, but check behind all preachers, including this one, to see whether or not he, and if it's a she, he or she is preaching what thus saith the word of God. Amen. And if it's a she, you know she ain't preaching. Pride, my colloquialism ain't, but ain't preaching what the Bible says. The only way for you to be sure, the only way for me to be sure of my tomorrow, that I will be ready for the day that the Lord calls me out of this world, is to study for myself and check behind all preachers. And you check behind all preachers too, including this one. Jesus has paved the way. He has come, stayed, and gone back. He made the round trip. We want to make the trip and land the same place that Jesus landed when he went back. You're still on the line? Don't go to sleep. You might wake up where you don't want to be. Jesus has paved the way. He has paid the price for us to get a ticket on that heavenly flight. Oh, church. The plan was designed by God and all of humanity before the foundation of the world was laid. It was designed by divine wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Infinite wisdom had and has an eye of our eternal happiness. But oh, what a price had to be paid. God, in all of his love, Jesus Christ, in all of his love for his Father, obeyed his Father for our eternal life. He paid the price. And the one who paid the price at the time was out of this world. He came to execute the plan. It demanded the crucifixion of God's only begotten Son to come to earth, put on the filthy rags of humanity, and to suffer death like a common criminal. What manifestation of love. What humility for him. Let the story be told of the life that he lived and the death that he died and why he did it. If he remains, you remember, Pontius Pilate, crucify. Pontius Pilate says, "There's we got another crook, that a man that we know is a crook, in prison. Let me give you him to crucify." They said no. The crowd said no. We want Jesus, the man who calls himself Jesus. Life, death, and resurrection. He was hung on a cross on Golgotha's hill, laboring there, suffering there, calling out to his Father. And he heard those two thieves that was crucified with him. He heard them. One on the right says, "If you be who you say you are, get down off this cross and take us with you." Amen. The other crook on the other side rebuked that crook on the right side. He says, we are where we are because of the way we have conducted our lives. But this man is innocent. That's what he said to his other crook on the other side. And then he kept talking, spoke to Jesus. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Did you know? Would you believe? Jesus says today. You still on the lawn? For those of you who are still awake. Today, you shall be with me. Now notice what Jesus says. And that gives us some kind of a clue. You shall be with me in paradise. For the righteous dead, there is no suffering. For those who die in favor with God, there is no suffering. And I was reading a book again last week that I had set aside for a while. And it talked about history before Jesus in the thousands and thousands of years that planet Earth has been in existence. Planet Earth has been in existence longer than we have men who know how long it is. They give guesstimations. But thousands upon thousands of years, planet Earth has been in existence. That means that human beings have been on planet Earth for thousands and thousands of years. Why? Because God created human beings on day number 6. World humans, thousands and thousands of years. Well, when we talk about our time now, we talk about the time of Jesus' birth and after the time of Jesus, B.C., A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. What humility this thief exercised, and what love Jesus exercised in telling him, today you shall be with me in heaven. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it's a terrible thing to go through life listening to individuals that's supposed to know the Bible, teach the Bible, and live the Bible, and discover at the judgment that they didn't teach me how to establish a relationship with God. Prayer. I'm moving us aside. Prayer has nothing to do with becoming a child of God. There is not one Christian, one person that became a Christian. Notice what I say. Notice the language that I'm using. There is not one person that became a Christian simply because they prayed. Prayer is not the answer. The Apostle Peter, guided by the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, and that motley crowd, when the gospel was preached for the very first time on planet Earth. Chapter 2, Peter started preaching in chapter 15, in verse 15. He had to flow by himself, although the other apostles were there. And he preached and came to verse 25. He said, that same Jesus that you all crucified 50 days ago, God has made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. That motley crowd of thousands in Jerusalem, they were shocked. And the Bible says that they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do? They realized that the Savior that they'd been looking for had come, lived with them, they had mistreated, and put to death on a cross. The apostles, let me give you this insert. Preaching in Acts chapter 2, first time the gospel is being preached by the apostles. They begin to preach in chapter 2. by the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them the words for the first time. But Jesus had told Peter, you are going to be the spokesman. All of them were preaching. But when in chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter became the central speaker. And he answered their question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Get your Bibles and go there and see what Peter answers them. I might tell you again. I might tell you in a few minutes. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that not just preachers, but leaders of churches tell people to do, it's all right to do something, and the Bible has not authenticated it. That's why it's so terribly important that you search the scriptures. Paul says, study to show yourself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Our Lord and Savior came to planet Earth to save us. He did not go through the agony of coming to the earth, the agony of dealing with us on planet Earth, and then the terrible agony of being crucified like a common criminal on a cross. An innocent man, the Son of God. He didn't come because it wasn't necessary. And then he told his apostles, go ye therefore and teach all things whatsoever I have commanded. He told them they would be guided by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in his last communication with them in Acts chapter 1, he said, don't go anywhere and preach until you go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all my truth. Nails were driven into his feet. Nails were driven into his hands. The cross was then lifted up, fastened in the hole, some socket in the earth. It was a painful, shameful death that Jesus died for us. And then you're going to tell us he died for us, and now you're going to come along and tell us that we don't have to do what he says in the Bible. Death couldn't keep him. Death got him. Pardon my colloquialism. 3 days later, death had to let him go. On that third appointed morning, Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. Conquering king, never to die anymore. Question. Do you know why he did it? He did it because of his love for humanity. He paid our price. He suffered our persecution, our death, rose again. We thank God for his love. He's gone back to heaven, and he now has not stopped looking and thinking and working for us. He maketh intercession to the Father for you and for me. Are you ready? Are you ready to obey him? The once crucified Savior says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ain't that good news? Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews chapter 3. Jesus is tenderly calling to think about his death. Why don't we hear? Jesus is tenderly calling you today. In John, 1 John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. John chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, did you get this? In my Father's house. He's talking to them before he goes to the cross and going back to glory. His apostles. In my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if that wasn't the case, if it's not so, I wouldn't have told you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'm not going to forget you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. Anybody here want to go to where he went? Where I am. It doesn't get any better than that. There. You may live on Knickerbocker Hill down here, but there's something better up yonder. There you may be also. Therefore, if you're here with us this morning, and you have not kept your promise to God as a child of His, come back home while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Get ready for all of your tomorrows. If you're here this morning, you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. You have not obeyed His gospel. Jesus says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. If it's, pardon the colloquialism of mine, if it ain't written in the Bible, His salvation is not there. You see, because Jesus told the apostles to go to Jerusalem in chapter 1 of the book of Acts and wait in Jerusalem until you are endowed with the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere preaching anything until you are endowed with the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. They did that. 10 days later, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you have not kept your promise to God, you were added to the body of Christ, the one church that the Bible talks about. That Bible doesn't talk about 2 churches, 3 churches, 10 churches. One church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's in your Bible. So if you're here and you have not obeyed the gospel that you read about in the Bible and been added, you can't join the Lord's church. You must do what He say do, and He adds you to His church. Now, if you're here, you have not obeyed Him, you come by believing His gospel. We've shared with you His word. Believe it. Be godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived heretofore. That's called repentance. Confess Him. Acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. When you obey the gospel, your slate is washed clean of every miss, of everything that you've done contrary to His will. Every sin, gone. Erased in your book of heaven. But now, He has rules, regulations, and guidelines as to how we are to live our lives on planet Earth as His adopted child. You see, that's what God... When you obey the gospel, God adopts you as His child. But let me share this with you. He already knows, according to Ephesians chapter 1. Read it in your Bible. He knew. You've read Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Before there was a heaven and earth, He knew what He was going to do, and He knew who was going to obey Him. Read it. That's in your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, God adopted. Those who obey His gospel, He'd already adopted you. Those who didn't obey His gospel, He knew He couldn't adopt you because you were not going to heed His will. Isn't that something? That's strange for human beings who only live for a few years. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have been in and out, let me ask you, if you worked on your job like you work in the Lord's church, if you went to your job like you come to the Lord's house, when did they fire you? Last year? Money ain't, pardon my colloquialism, ain't everything. Relationship with Jesus is everything if you don't want to make hell your eternal home of abode. Don't be like the rich young ruler in your Bible in Luke chapter 16, starting with about verse 19. He knew God's truth and refused to live accordingly. And when he died, the Bible says he opened his eyes in a fiery, tormented place. He apparently thought that he had more time. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just said that when he died, he opened his eyes in torment. He was not prepared for his tomorrow. Question tonight. No, this morning. I haven't preached that long. Are you ready? Are you ready for your tomorrow? And if you're not ready for your tomorrow, how do you know how many tomorrows you're going to have on earth? Because you can't change anything once you leave planet earth. Be wise today, because today is the day of salvation. Take it. Accept it. Come and obey your God, obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be added to the family of God, the Church of Christ, the only church that you read about in the Bible. The apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was to guide them into all truth. The only truth that the Holy Spirit told them about was the Church of Christ. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. You've heard. Be wise today. You've heard the gospel. Be wise today unto salvation. Do you believe it? Are you godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived heretofore? Acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And the Bible says that God will do two things then. He will save you, and He will send His Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart, and He will adopt you as His son and daughter. Of course, He knew who was going to obey His gospel before He created the universe. If you're already a member of the Church of Christ, you're in His family. And you've made it here today, but you know that you have not been committed, dedicated, and putting Him first. He doesn't take second place. Come on home. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your sin and request prayer for your forgiveness. The price paid for forgiveness speaks loud and clear to every sound thinking human being about the horrors of hell, eternal hell. There is no getting out. That rich young man, he says, send that man that I ignored on planet Earth. Let him dip his finger, the tip of his finger, not his whole finger, the tip of his finger, in water and cool my aching tongue. You know what Abraham told him? Can't do it. We can't go back and forth. Where you are, we can't come. Where you are, you can't come. There's a great gulf fixed Of course, now where we are, we don't want to come the way you are. But you can't come the way we are. Are you all there, church? We become, seem like, lackadaisical about our relationship with God. Come when we get ready. Come any time we get ready. I'm going to come, but I'm going to be late. Well, that happens sometimes, but to do it on a regular basis, where are we? Do we really understand what we have? Do we really understand we're going to live longer off the earth than we are on the earth? We're just here for a few years. We are creatures that live forever. You say, well, I've been to a lot of funerals. I know you've been to a lot of funerals. I have too. I've officiated at a number of funerals. But the body was here. When life was here in that body, the body wasn't here. They were taking it, the owner was taking it here, there, and yon. But the person was gone. That's why we're having a funeral. Go back to your Bible and do your reading in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and see how God started all of this with human beings. He tells you about he created male and female in chapter 1, but we don't get any details regarding how he did that until we come to chapter 2. The man was created first. And then God says, I'm going to make him a suitable helper. I will make him a suitable helper. Now, when you say a man, a suitable helper would be another man, and that's all right and that's for him, then what are you calling God? What are you calling God? You're calling him unwise? Don't know much, and a whole lot of other things. God says, I will make for him, a suitable helper. And you know what God made for him? He made a her. And not a him. Listen now. Those of you who worship him on a regular basis, you've heard this before, you're going to hear it again. And probably a lot of years to come. That depends upon God. We must understand, life came out from God. Human life came out from God. The body came from where? The earth. The earth. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the earth didn't always exist. It came into existence when God talked about time, when God inserted time. That's the body. The body, read chapter 2, Genesis. Body, earth. Body, earth. Body, earth. And as long as I live in this body, I can do that. Can't clap my hands when I'm leaving it, when I leave this body. Are you all following me? God formed man from the dust of the earth. God didn't make man from the dust of the earth. God breathed. We came out from God, not from dust. And no part of God can ever die. We live forever. Did you get that? We're going to live forever. Don't treat it. Don't treat your life, and especially your life in Christ, like they don't exist. You have more honor for your dollars than you have for Christ. You have more honor for your job than you have for Christ. That's ludicrous. You can get God. God will take care of you no matter who you are and where you are. If you're a faithful child of His, He'll take care of you. He took care of Peter. He was killed by the Roman government. He took care of Paul. Took care of Abraham. You remember? Because that's what we're reading about now. When Luke 15, reading about Abraham talking to the man, said, send Lazarus. No, can't send him. There's a great gulf fix. In other words, we won't be bothered with folk that didn't make it. Do you see how I put that? Praise the Lord. Where do you want to spend eternity? Are you sure about your salvation? Are you in the church that was established in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost with Peter doing the preaching? Are you in that church? Because the Lord added people to that church on that day and for every day thereafter on planet Earth. You've heard the gospel? You see, I want it on my record. This is why I share this gospel the way I do. And I want it to please God. You hear the gospel? You've heard it? Believe it with all of your heart. Be godly sorrowful. Call repentance of your, that your life that you've lived to this point. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then be buried in water baptism for the remission and forgiveness of every soul, of every sin. That's it. You do that, God adds you to His family. The water is ready. The garments are ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark, are you ready? Are you ready? No, not ready for that. Are you ready to give your life to Christ? What do you mean you're not ready for that? You come to me after service and I'll tell you. Now is all that we have. We don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. Now is all that we have. We're going to be standing. We're going to be singing a song of encouragement. May God bless you to make a decision that pleases Him. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away, calling today.